Hello, this is the weekly astrology forecast, and this is astrologer Shelley Entine speaking to you about the week beginning Monday, March 24th, ending on Sunday, March 30th. And, you know, this is an interesting week because we do have the retrograde of Venus back into Pisces. And before Mercury retrogrades back into Pisces, we have the Aries new moon at 9 degrees Aries, and that's on the 29th, and that is a partial solar eclipse. And if you're looking at one of my print, I have actually two ways of sending this out on print, and one of them is on the Substack Moon Days Report, which I have decided to open up to everyone again, not just paid for some of it. You'll see a map, and you'll see where the shadow is. And again, it's partial to begin with, so it's not a complete total blackout of the sun. But it will cause a significant change in the outer world. And so I've looked at all these pieces of information, Mercury retrograding into Pisces at 10:18 p.m., and the entry of Neptune into Aries at 8 a.m. on Sunday, the 30th. Well, I think I can do it in one podcast. I'm going to give it my very best and see if that can happen. But what I am going to do is look at the partial solar eclipse before I get into the daily forecast for the week, and I will also then look at the Neptune entering Pisces from Pisces to Aries. And I will see how long it took, and then we'll see if I can go on to do the daily forecast and not have it be too long. So, one of the things that I noticed, and I set this for Washington, D.C. again, 6:58 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time on the 29th, which is the Saturday, the same trine that was in the equinox, the Mars Cancer trining the Saturn in Pisces, is there. So we are still seeing the passionate action to create security and homes and families, trying to help those downtrodden underdogs represented by Saturn and Pisces, and maintain those structures, Saturn, that have been used for decades and decades to help people after they retired or if they had medical needs and etc. That's still going on. Mars is moving towards a trine to the North Node in Pisces, which is saying keep the faith and do some visions of what you'd rather see. And yet one of the things that is there is an exact square from Mars in Cancer to Chiron in Aries, 22 degrees. And Chiron is direct at this point, and he is dealing with wounds through trying to express his individuality and wounds from anger issues, maybe his own or that of others. And we do have that eclipse at 9 degrees of Aries. So, and the moon can represent home and family. That's the ruler of Cancer, right? So that is in this new moon of something is going to change in the world. So, what we may be wondering about is the sextile from Mars to Uranus and Taurus, some change in financial expression, some change in real estate. And we might find ourselves having to deal with something about being able to have individual home ownership. And so many unfortunate events have been taking place, and we now have the government putting the repair back on the states. And anyone could have known in the instant they heard that, that the only way the states can do that, because they're so used to declaring a state of emergency and going to the government, and the government and FEMA coming in to help. Well, what must they do? And what they must do then is increase the property taxes, and even in many states, I would imagine, the insurance companies are going to increase their homeowner rate as well. Now, this is just another thing in the parade of things that have been creating turmoil for the average human since a new administration came in January. So we will be watching this, and the orb of influence of the solar eclipse is 6 months. So it won't necessarily be an instantaneous experience, but we also do have Mars in the fourth house, which is Cancer's house, and a cardinal house, which means it has more outer energy. And so fighting about this is going to take place. It's inevitable. Mars moving towards the retrograde Venus. It's interesting that Mercury is retrograded 0 degrees, which was the equinox entry to Aries before it retrogrades. And that this particular eclipse takes place degree of the original retrograde for Mercury. Yes, it's all, you know, that symphony of the heavens, let's say. The eclipse has waning, I mean, it's moving away, sextile to Pluto in Aquarius. So there has been some effective action, it seems, but maybe not so much now for the power of the group or power over the group or whatever. We are looking at the Venus retrograding to the North Node in Pisces, which is suggesting that energy of compassion is something we should also be aware of. This is in Washington. The eclipse is just below the horizon in the east. So at that point, you won't be seeing this because it's below the ground still. Sunrise has not taken place. It'll be there soon. It's a couple of degrees off. I wouldn't be running out to try and see a phenomena, but who knows, maybe you'll get lucky. Anyway, it depends on how far you are, but Washington is at 38 north, 77 west. So if you are further east, you may be able to see it. And it does seem as though the shadow is north. You know, there's and east for Canada, those islands above Canada mainly, and some of the northeastern U.S., Greenland, and into across the pond, we go into the U.K. and Ireland, and some bits of Northern Europe, Scandinavia, Northern Russia. That is where partial shadow is going to be taking place. So it's very different than the total lunar eclipse in its scope. However, Canada and Greenland are still involved, and we see the NATO nations and Scandinavia involved. Change in the outer world circumstances. Jupiter in this chart in Gemini is in the third house, lots of communications coming, lots of information. And Jupiter in Gemini is in aspect of a sextile to this new moon. So we might be able to get some helpful information and have some helpful communications taking place. And this is pretty far away, but in orb of the Nessus, which is interesting. I'm going to give you two centaurs that are playing this part, this role, and also Ceres. Ceres and Nessus are coming together now as Saturn moves away from Nessus. Nessus is the buck stops here. And so things are going to be changing. And again, this is in Pisces, so it's a little cloudy and obscure. Ceres is the dwarf planet now, was an asteroid, and she's a 12 Pisces, so she's approaching, and that is closer to Jupiter, 3 degrees, and then 3 degrees, 4 degrees for the Jupiter connect in square. So some of the information that may be hidden about sustenance, food, and things like that, or they did already remove, and Jupiter's moving away, the money subsidies for the food pantries for people, which also took money from farming, because lots of farmers were paid lots of money to help stock the food pantries, you know. So this is what we're looking at. This is what's there. And one of the interesting things is there's a lot of energy in the 12th house in Washington, which is behind the scenes secret stuff going on. Pholus, who is the centaur, who divines the entrails and sees what's going to happen or what's what, and is called the listen to your gut instinct, but also the lid comes off. The lid comes off the sacred wine, the wisdom of our ancestors. And that is very close to the midheaven of the chart in Capricorn. And the midheaven is at Capricorn, which is the natural. These are the natural houses of the 10th house, it's Capricorn. And that's government. And that is where a lid may be coming off, particularly as we see Pholus also in aspect to the solar eclipse, new moon, and in sextile to Ceres in Pisces. She's the fierce mother who protects her children. So we will see. We will be looking and watching. And again, the south node is in Virgo. The north node is in Pisces. Surrounded. The north node is surrounded. Again, we have that preponderance of Piscean energy with us. And that north node is saying, as I said before, keep the faith. Don't go under. Don't keep the fear. Keep the faith. So that's my best advice for this particular eclipse moment. And I'm going to move on now to have a look at the Neptune energy. We really don't know. I mean, it's been over 100, almost 200 years, like 164 or something, since Neptune was in Aries. Very difficult to understand because everything was very different back then, right? You may have had some gas energy coming in to the water nations to do the heating or the lamp lighting or this and that. But Aries, of course, is a sign of war, and Neptune is water, sea, gas, infectious, right? So we already know that there are people cutting cables to cause difficulties. It's a terrorist attack through technology. And they're doing their job up in the North area near Greenland and Denmark and stuff like that, and it's this very serious stuff, you know. We're so dependent, aren't we, on all the electronics and the technologies. So obviously warfare conducted underwater seems to be potential with Neptune there, but also through these other aspects of Neptune, different types of toxic substances. And unfortunately, another thing that happened in the United States is the weakening of the EPA and the protections on water pollution and air pollution. So if people aren't monitoring, you know, you get the picture. So Neptune in Aries, very, very unusual. We also look at the whole idea of, again, individuality and the dissolving aspect of Neptune. I mean, like, basically, the best thing I can think of is that there will be a lot of crusading energy that is inspired by either spiritual behavior, you know, the truth of spirituality, although there can be more religious wars also with that. But people taking leadership energy in order to be the compassionate look at this through the lens of, you know, the empathy that has been denied as a strength by a public figure recently. And if you're on my Substack posts, I have been, you know, doing quite a lot of writing there. And one of them is a post called, "Are You an Empath?" And so you might want to take a look at that. It's Shelley, my name, and W-R-I-T-E-S, right, Shelley writes. Shelleywrites.substack.com, and it's in there in the archive. But this is a natural, instinctive, you're born with it, capacity to know and sense other people's feelings and thoughts. People lose it, and they start being led by others, and being led by others with Neptune there is taking a big chance on whether you're being led in truth or you're being, you know, led by a big cloud of not reality. So this is a tricky thing. I mean, Neptune in Pisces was intense because it was in its own sign. Now Neptune is in fire. Now some people say that the fire aspect is also going to be a consumer of water and will be needing more water. Well, I must say, I saw posts today that Cornwall and somewhere in Wales were having fires. It's not even summer yet. So think about this. I mean, I really am impulsed to start looking at doing a class on ways to work with weather. I would really like to see a group unified activity on making sure that the areas near you are not getting too dry and staying dry for too long. All right, this is something that can you can affect. You are in relationship. everything that is in existence, and that includes the elements and systems of weather. So I will let you know when that is a very strong potential, because we obviously need that. I mean, we had some pop-up fires. People set them also, which is just terrifying. How could you have a mind that would do that? But some people do. So we had one that was set not terribly far from me, but far enough, near one of the major highways. And I know they are investigating that experience, that explosion at the power grid station area that closed Heathrow for, Heathrow, I mean every country in the world is going into Heathrow with planes, you know. So that was a tremendous issue that they had to stop flights. You know, again, we used to walk in the garden, right? And we had a horse, maybe. If we were lucky, we had a horse and buggy. And as long as we kept the horse okay, we had ways to get around. Well, you know, we have advanced so far that we have made ourselves more and more and more vulnerable. And that's very interesting. And this is Neptune also. Vulnerability in the water element. So, Neptune, and I think I'm looking at the clock, and I think I may have to do this and then go to the weekly astrology forecast in another podcast. But what I wanted to tell you were the dates that I have seen for the Neptune energy, because it isn't going to stay for, you know, it's going to have that retrograde cycle. So Neptune is going to get up to about 2 degrees, and then it's going to retrograde this summer. All right, let me look at this. Okay. It retrogrades on the 4th of July at 2 degrees of Aries, 5:34 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. It returns to 29 Pisces at 5:48 a.m. on October 22nd. It turns direct at 29 Pisces. Doesn't go any further back, just goes to the degree that we're talking about right now, because this is the degree that's been there for so long and is in your, you know, eclipse and was in the equinox, 29 degrees of Pisces on December 10th at 7:21 a.m. Now, while it's there, the famous Saturn-Neptune conjunction is going to take place. It doesn't actually get to a point where it's really exact, but it's there. It's so close as to be conjunct for quite a while, and it will be happening as, you know, Saturn moves up in its transit of Aries. And then again, when the energy of Neptune retrogrades into Pisces, it will be happening. Again, these planets that are setting forth into new signs, these outer planets, Saturn, Uranus, well, Saturn not so much, but Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. Pluto's there for good now. Aquarius is its sign, the foreseeable future. But Uranus and Neptune, and also Saturn, are having just the first taste. And I think the thing that's going to help us more than anything else, truthfully, is when Uranus gets into Gemini. I think that is when we're going to really have the awakenings that we need, and hopefully the awakenings of a larger group of people who've been following the leader without noticing what's happening. Yeah. So, anyway, Neptune. So it's very just a few now. It is good to know if you happen to be a person that has cardinal sign planets, especially moon, sun, or your ascendant, if you're in the low degrees, like 0 to 2, you are going to be feeling that effect of Neptune moving into Aries and that Neptune-Saturn conjunction, Saturn moving into Aries. Again, it will be the beginning for you. If your planets are a little further along in the cardinal signs, which are Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn, then you will be coming into your experience in 2026. It'll get a little closer and move and move and move. Of course, Neptune won't move as fast. Obviously, Saturn only gets about 2.5 years in a sign, right? So it will go through faster. But the cardinal people, especially the lower part of the cardinal signs, will be the ones that are calling for readings because they won't understand what's happening exactly. So, well, you know how to reach me. And this is also going to be an interesting time for the mutables when Uranus shifts into Gemini. If you're in early degrees of Gemini or the other ones, the Virgo, the Sag, and the Pisces, you'll get some surprises. You know, maybe not as easily dealt with in those low degrees, and that could be your ascendant also, or the midheaven, for instance, for both of them, because that's where something in the outer world for you can change without an eclipse happening. So it's like a new trend of people and places in charts that are going to be affected. Again, the early degrees of these are the ones. And the ones that make the happy trines and sextiles, well, the other two water signs get the trines from the two planets. The Aries energy is the fire signs. So the other two fire signs that are at low degrees are going to get the trine aspect from Neptune and Saturn in that sign. And the other two air signs will get the trine degrees from Uranus when it goes into Gemini right at the beginning, just in the beginning of the sign. Right. So this is just another thing to understand. If you know your chart, you'll know. If you don't, I would know it if you gave me the information and got a reading. So again, you know where I am. And this has been, enough time to be its own podcast. So I'm going to suggest that if you do a ceremony of some sort around that eclipse energy and ask for some guidance, maybe do a card spread or something like that, it will help you understand how to proceed. Just say, how do I proceed? And, let your cards go. Sometimes you can just do 3 cards, which is the forces that have come into this situation, the moment now, and then the future. So those can be very helpful depending on what you do. I like to do a 5-card spread that's like a star where you throw the first card down on the lower left and then you go diagonally up for the 2nd card, to the right, and then cross straight over back to the left for the 3rd, and diagonally down to the right for the 4th, and then right at the top goes your final card. And there you have like a description of the issue, and then you have a challenge to the issue, and the forces at work in the issue, and another idea for you to think about what you should be doing, and then the outcome at the top. So those can be very simple, very helpful as we come to a moment where there is going to be a change. And so I wish you all the best with that, and I'll say goodbye for now.